Good morning and welcome to A Taste of Torah. Today we do Chumash, the Parsha of Tazria. The subject matter in today's reading, as well as most of the Parsha, is the famous Tzara'at, a biblical skin condition often mistranslated as leprosy that rendered somebody spiritual impure. And whilst today we do not have it, and it's easy to read a Parsha like this and shrug our shoulders and say, what is going on here? It sounds crazy. The truth of the matter is, this is the way it truly should be. When something is not right spiritually in a perfect world, it should manifest itself physically. Just like we know often when someone doesn't feel well, and then immediately afterwards they get a rash, or immediately afterwards it manifests itself through a fever or through some physical indicator. Tzara'at was truly the sign of a person whose inside and outside were aligned with one another. So much so that when something wasn't right spiritually, you could see it physically. And that is why, in the teachings of Chassidut, it specifically mentions that it was often more righteous individuals that would get this skin condition, because those were the men and women that typically did have a holy spiritual core, and this was something out of the ordinary, something that stood out, almost like a stain on a white coat. But in the case of an individual that regularly would make these mistakes, and that was part and parcel of their day-to-day behavior, they would not get tzara'at because there was nothing unusual about the particular behavior that they did. It did not stand out. Indeed, the most famous biblical character to get tzara'at was none other than the holy Miriam, the sister of Moshe, when she spoke against Moshe, and even meant well in the process. But nonetheless, that type of speaking was out of norm for someone of her caliber. The Parsha identifies four shades of white that could appear on human skin that would render the person as being afflicted by tzara'at, a very intense kind of white, like snow white called baheret, one that's slightly darker than that, it says it's like cleaned wool, called se'et, and a subcategory in each of them called sapachat. In any of these cases, if that lesion, that discoloration, was deep inside of the skin, that would be tzara'at. If it was on surface level, that would just be considered a rash and not tzara'at. There would be times when it was unclear, and the Kohen would put the person in a temporary state of isolation and come back 7 days later in order to check if the situation got better or worse. And that is what I want to focus today's spiritual teaching on. The verse says the Kohen should look at the affliction on the skin of the flesh. If the hair in the affliction has turned white and the affliction is deeper than the skin, it is tzara'at. And the Kohen should look at him and make him impure, tamei. Indeed, it had to be through the pronouncement of the Kohen that the person officially had tzara'at and had to leave the camp. Nonetheless, when you look at this verse, there is clearly something that is redundant. It begins by saying the Kohen should look at the affliction, and then after describing what conditions would make him impure, it repeats the Kohen should look at him and pronounce him impure. Those words, the Kohen should look at him, are absolutely extra. Or so it seems. There's an incredible answer given by the Meshech Chachma, who was a Hasidic Rebbe living in the 1800s. And he says that the Torah is telling us a profound truth at this point. First and foremost, yes, the Kohen would look at the affliction and see whether it has those characteristics of tzara'at. But prior to actually pronouncing the person impure, the Kohen would do another search. This time it wasn't at the affliction. He was not looking at the symptoms. He was looking at the individual. V'ra'ahu, the Kohen should see him. At that point, the Kohen was seeing, is this person at a point in his life where this would be productive, where he will be able to tolerate being outside of the camp, where this punishment will actually lead to the desired outcome. And indeed, our sages actually tell us that there would be specific times, such as during the 7 days when a groom is celebrating after his marriage, that the Kohen would postpone that announcement. Yes, the symptoms were there. Now isn't the right time for it. It's a fascinating perspective, because something said hundreds of years ago is actually reflected very much in our approach to medicine as well today. You know, there are two approaches to medicine. You can go and treat the specific symptoms, or you can think about how can I put the entire patient in balance. I'm not only treating the disease, but I'm treating the patient. The goal isn't just to stop the pain, but the goal is how can I get to the point where I can promote an overall well-being. How can I give a medicine that is right for the person at this time? This holistic approach is becoming quite popular in medicine, And of course, it's also true when it comes to other individuals in the realm of education, parenting, or discipline. A mentor of mine once told me, whenever you answer someone's question, don't answer the question, answer the person. What is the response that this individual needs to hear in their life at this point? The fact that they're asking this question probably comes from a deeper place. Identify that place and address that. All those times we're so tempted to give the knee-jerk reaction and discipline whether a child or a student. We are to remember the words of the Parsha, don't look at only the disease, but look at the person. Will calling him impure right now really help? Does he need to have more of his teacher now or less of his teacher, more of his mother and father or less than of his mother and father? What is truly the best course of action that will be beneficial for his or her growth today? תפתח